Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Welcome back to the Good Night Dad podcast. This is episode 26. I'm General Eccles, joined by Brandon Schumann. And today we're going to get right to it because we've got a very special guest and a really interesting topic. Brandon, where are we going?
Well, today we have the lovely Reagan Harper, who is going to be joining us to talk about the grammar school for its own sake. The language that we use to describe the two schools that we have, I mean, we're one school, but we've got a kind of two campuses. We've got the grammar school campus, and then we have the upper school campus. By default, you hear upper school. That can be a little bit misleading in some aspects of saying that, well, the grammar school is there for the sake of the upper school. And it's certainly true that all the work that you're doing, all the hard work that you're doing in home days and the effort that you're putting in helps prepare you to have better success at the upper school. But the trap that can fall into is that it can lead to this impression that the grammar school is only there for the sake of the upper school. And we've talked, I think, even on this program about the different stages of learning of like grammar, logic, rhetoric, and the grammar is the roots of the tree, and then the logic's the trunk, and then the rhetoric is the branches and the fruit. And even that, I mean, it gives the impression that the roots are there for something that's to come later. And while all of that is true, that's not the whole truth, because if we fall into that trap that is the whole truth, then what we miss out on is the fact that there's a lot of good that is taking place right now in those grammar years. What we decided to do is to invite Reagan Harper to come and help share and spread some light on the fact that what are these good things that are going on in the grammar school. And so Reagan is the Friday teacher for science at kindergarten. Rowan, my son, is in her kindergarten class and loves all the things that he learns there. He's taught me about waxing and waning moons, and that's been lots of fun. And then Reagan's also taught the fourth grade for 2 years. If you are at the upper school, Reagan's the mother of David and Rachel Harper, who have some really awesome voices if you've ever heard him sing. If you haven't heard him sing, you're missing out. Beyond all of that, she's a great person, and she really gets what classical education's about. And so really glad to be able to invite her to this podcast so that way the MCA community can get to know her and her family more. So Reagan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. It's awesome to be here. Before I get started, I just want to let y'all know that Trey and I have really benefited from listening to this podcast. I know there's a lot of families out there that are listening and that are being encouraged. I want y'all to know that.
Oh, great.
It's been awesome. Thank you. I'm just really happy to get to be a part of this. I get really excited about classical education, about teaching. I can go on and on and on about it, so y'all stop me at any point. And I was really intrigued when you first brought up this question, this thought about how so often we view the grammar stage and age as just a preparation for later in life and for the upper school. I have to admit, I'm guilty of that in some ways, even in my teaching. I often have that in front of me, thinking about how is this going to apply to the upper school whenever I'm teaching this to my own children and to the kids at the grammar school. Especially as we're heading into February and you get into that February slump, which I've realized is a universal phenomenon. It doesn't just happen in my household.
Right. It's Groundhog Day.
Oh, man, no kidding. And there's a lot of people out there that are discouraged. Those who are in those grammar years, the upper school seems a million miles away, even though it's just across a yard. I'm hoping that maybe we can encourage them and give them kind of a fresh vision for what's going on. And there is some just sweetness and goodness to those grammar years. Talk a little bit about wonder and curiosity, and Rowan is the embodiment of wonder and curiosity, and it's been a real blessing to be with kindergartners this year for that reason.
He is nonstop and does not have a silent thought.
It's awesome, though. You know,
yes,
that's part
yes.
of the fun. One of the principles that I've kind of been learning about the classical approach to education, especially when it comes to like our methods, is that you need to teach according to the nature of whatever it is that you're learning. You need to recognize that nature. What is the nature of a grammar school student? The whole idea of teaching to someone's nature or learning something based on its nature might sound kind of like a, yeah, well, no duh, okay? But when we live in a society where, you know, even something like gender is fluid, we really don't have a sense of what our nature is, or we think we can make it up. I think it's a good point to start at. Some of the sweetness and the goodness just about the grammar school years and the nature of a grammar school child is their imagination, their wonder and curiosity, and the tenderness of their hearts. And I tell this I have a memory in my first year of teaching at MCA that has stuck out to me in one of my first teacher conferences that I had. And one of the moms told me that a reason that they chose MCA is because they wanted to honor their children's childhood. And that goes back to the nature of what a child actually is in those years. Imagination is one of those things that just really sticks out to me. It's one of the joys of being with our kids during this time and getting to teach them.
What a fresh approach. As a parent, that's the reason that we're here instead of, they got to do third grade somewhere.
Right.
So why not MCA?
Yeah, I love that.
And to honor that is, that's awesome.
Yeah, and there's so much to that. I mean, yeah, we could just talk this entire time about that, you know? I told this story in the MCA staff training. There's a guy named Sir Ken Robinson. He's from the UK, and he talks a lot about educational theory, and he actually has the most watched TED Talk on YouTube, millions of viewers, because he's talking about education. It's obviously something that's on people's hearts and minds. He talks about kids' imaginations, and he tells this story about an art teacher. She's in a classroom with third graders, and they're busily, you know, sketching something. And she notices one little girl who is typically very active and what you would describe as a typical ADD, you know, kid. And she is totally engaged in what she's doing. The teacher approaches her at the back of the room and says, "What are you drawing?" Doesn't even look up. And she says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Teachers, well, you know, nobody knows what God looks like. And she's
obviously,
obviously. And she's like, "They will in a minute." That's just the sweetness of these years. Hmm. You get to engage in that. It is being with kids and my own kids in this time where their imaginations are so active has invigorated me. It's sparked my imagination. I've just really enjoyed seeing that come out in the stories that they write, the art that they produce, Lego structures that they build, book reports, and even imagination and attacking math problems. You know, we think there's only one way to do things, but really, there's not. So that's been really fun. I was asking David a little bit about this, too, about like some of his memories of his grammar school years.
And David's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore, yeah. And even though we weren't here, we've always classically educated, and we've always done it within a community. So we never really did it on our own. I asked him, what are some of the good things about the grammar years? And, of course, he started rattling off the good thoughts. But I said, "Dave, let me put a picture in your mind. 11 ripsticks lined up against a brick wall outside of our church." And he was like, "Oh, universal target. Yes." All the guys in our study group had made up this game called Universal Target, and they literally took PVC pipe and pool noodles and stuck it on the end, and they're all on their ripsticks every break that we got out there, and there's like one universal target and a guy to defend him, and then it's just all out war. Yeah. He said, "Yeah, we got to be imaginative. You honored our childhood in that every break we took, we got out there, we played, we had fun, but then we came back. And even in our youngest years, we came back and we had meaningful discussion and we dug in and we were challenged." And he said, you know, he really appreciated that. And Rachel appreciated snow days and hot chocolate. And so, you know, but he loved that he was given the opportunity to use his imagination in that way.
And that's really good. It's a great reminder that just this idea of honoring childhood and how can I honor my kids' childhood, my two sons, with where they are. I mean, they're 6 and 4 right now. And just, I guess, over Christmas break, I made an observation of just, it's been a long time since I've just been crawling on my hands and knees and on my tummy on the floor with my kids. And that's because they're not in that stage anymore. They're now standing up, they're upright, going to the bathroom on their own. Those are all really good things, and I wouldn't change that.
Yeah.
But that season of being on your tummy, looking them straight in the eye while your chin's on the carpet and like, "Oh, I need to vacuum." But now we're standing up, they're standing up, and I'm standing up, and even though I may get down and wrestle, that season is done where you're smelling the carpet every day.
Right.
I guess what I'm getting at, what MCA provides is just this opportunity for me to engage and enter their world, because their world's changing and it's growing, and they're not upper school students yet, but there still is a great opportunity for us as dads, as moms, as parents, and as teachers, enter into their world on their terms and imagine with them.
Well, Reagan, before we go on, just a few thoughts. I don't have any data or numbers, but I imagine that there's a lot of parents, dads in particular, that we know we need to be more engaged. We know we need to be more intentional, more involved. I mean, it's like we understand that. as you talk, I get excited about the idea of being more creative during the process. But I imagine that there's parents out there, and particularly dads, that's just another thing that I'm just naturally not. What would you recommend to that dad or mom right now? They get excited, obviously, whenever they hear your excitement, your experiences, and what this can be. How would you encourage them to get there if this is going to be a leap for them?
Yeah. I would say two things. One, based off of what Brandon just said about just engaging them, if you prayerfully just ask for your eyes to be open, your ears to be attentive to what's already going on around you, and then just seize those moments. You don't necessarily have to be creative. And also the other thing too, I think Trey, the way he has supported me in homeschooling, he's never been a huge part of it. When we were living in Houston, his commute was an hour and a half every day, one way. We were at home a lot by ourselves. He would travel a lot. But he always fully supported me in what we were doing. And I knew that he stood behind us. And there's something about that, by providing that support and energy for the mom when it comes to those creative moments. I always felt empowered to think outside the box and to do things that would kind of cultivate those moments.
In our family, we always try to be in tune with what we would refer to as the order of God in everything that we do.
Yes.
And that's what I'm hearing you describe within y'all's given roles. And it just seems like the more that we get in line and fall into order of how God's designed this, that there's more grace available. That's the terminology that we would use in our house to describe what I think you're describing.
Definitely.
The grace is there whenever things are just aligned and in order. So you don't have to be two parents that are insanely creative.
Yes.
You just have to be willing to search and look and have courage, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. I guess the next thing that I mentioned early on is that wonder and curiosity, Rowan. It's just such a sweet, wonderful, good part of these grammar years. And one thing that drew my attention to this, when we moved here, just to give you a little background, when we moved to Midland 4 years ago, I grew up here, then Trey and I moved back 4 years ago with our family, and it was the first time that we put our kids in public school. Just through circumstance, they had to go into public school for a little while, and David was thrown straight into seventh grade, which is a very trying time.
Yeah.
And to be a homeschool kid, But for the most part, it went really well. I know there's so many wonderful teachers in public schools that are especially fellow believers who are really doing everything they can to kind of push back against some of the difficulties there. But towards the end of that year, I picked up David after school, and he walked out to the car. And he just was very distraught, very seriously said, I mean, we kind of laugh at it now, but I feel like I'm losing a piece of my soul every time I walk in there.
As a seventh grader.
As a seventh grader. Wow. And I thought, but man, it hit the nail on the head.
That'll get your attention.
Man, no kidding. He said that. And it drew my attention to the fact that part of the reason he said that is because, again, they're not teaching to the child's nature. That kids are naturally curious, and the great irony is that by our methods, we often kill that.
Right.
We either choose to kill or cultivate it. And that, I think, is what he was expressing, was he got it, that that was what was going on. And if we want to cultivate wonder and curiosity, if we want our kids to be wise and virtuous, they need to be able to be out in nature and follow those curiosities where they may lead them. And the grammar years are the perfect time to do that. Recently doing a Bible study on Proverbs, and one of the things that I noticed is that in 1 Kings 3 and 4, whenever Solomon asks for wisdom, later on in chapter 4, in the latter part of that chapter, it talks about how now he's known by the surrounding nations. They're coming to visit him to gain his wisdom. But one of the things that it says is that he observed the trees and the birds and the fish and the reptiles.
Hmm.
And it was those proverbs. He'd written thousands of proverbs and songs, but they were based in this revelation in nature.
Hmm.
And I just thought that that was really interesting. These grammar years are those perfect times, like in the kindergarten science class, doing a water cycle in the bag, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But they are just like so excited about it. And I really appreciate that. It's different in the upper school years. You know, it's not lost, but we have a unique opportunity to cultivate it and just enjoy it with them in the grammar school years.
I mean, what I hear you saying is to see what is in front of you can be a really hard thing to do. I mean, it's easy to miss what's happening right now because we're so concerned about tomorrow. and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Even though their grammar school years can have trying times and doing your math facts may not be what's on your student's agenda or heart at that moment, right. There can be tears as you're trying to get those things done. There is a lot of sweetness and goodness. And if you need somebody to give you permission, we're giving you permission now. Enjoy that.
Yes, amen.
Look for those opportunities to enjoy. Don't be a slave to the monotony and to feeling entrapped of, I've got to do this, and at some point this is going to pay off.
Yeah.
Look for today's blessings now. God is at work in your heart and in your kid's heart and in the messiness and the beauty of the circumstances that you're in. And look for that and listen.
Yeah. So true. And that just reminded me of one other thing. There is a man in our church. He's a widower, lost his wife about 4 years ago. And one of the things they loved to do together was garden. And they had a flower garden that they kept together. And at the beginning of this school year, it was like towards late September when their passion flowers bloom. He's kept the garden going since she's died.
Oh.
And when their passion flowers bloom, he always brings them to the women in our church. And he brought us one. And he has no idea how much of a blessing that was, because I was able to use that with Ada and Isaac. Did some little nature sketches, and we just set this passion flower out in front of them. And you know, when you really take time to sit down and look, it was absolutely beautiful. It's just one of millions of different kinds of flowers that God created. And we were able to pull up images on Google and see all the different kinds, and just spending a couple of hours just sketching them and attending to them and looking at the variety, it just nourished our souls. Mm. The sweetness of even just that picture of later on in life, you know, a faithful husband keeping that garden alive, memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
What strikes me about that is, even if we've been trained to be distracted, maybe limit our own abilities as far as what we can imagine, that as you were saying that, we have the opportunity at MCA, especially at the grammar school, the universe is the basis of the resources available to us, literally.
Yeah.
All of creation. And that's just, I don't know, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah,
You can't put any kind of cap on it either as far as the resources that are available to you, a homeschool mom. I think we can lose track of that and just get bogged down in the day-to-day, and this is our schedule, and experiment. And even if it means moving from the table to the backyard to a park, taking a road trip, I don't know, the little things add up.
They do. Yeah. And when you said that you can't put a price tag on that, it actually kind of brings me to my next point about the tenderness of their hearts, because one of my favorite podcast moments so far has been hearing you get choked up about the hard-earned relationship that Leah has with your boys because of this time of their life. That kind of brings me to the tenderness of a child's heart during this time, and an openness, a ripeness for the gospel. And again, it's not lost in the upper school years. I get excited to think about how many kids maybe that have been brought up in nominally, you know, Christian homes that are in the upper school right now hearing the gospel and being challenged, and who knows what fruit's going to come out of that.
Right.
But there is something special about those grammar years. I was thinking about, going back to garden and analogies, I was thinking about the first students and, you know, walking, you know, Adam and Eve walking with God in the garden. And I've often wondered, gosh, what were they learning during that time? One thing that I read recently that just really hit me to this point about tenderness, first of all, is that God is the initiator of relationship. He established that relationship with them before he even gave them the first command, the relationship before the rule. And that, I think, is a big part of what we are cultivating in these grammar years. If we want our kids to be open to the gospel, having that relationship is foundational. If we want them to believe, which I love the way that Tim Keller puts it, if we want them to believe and receive that truth that they're more sinful and broken than they ever dare believe, but they're more loved and accepted in Jesus than they would ever dare to hope, that relationship has got to be there for the rules that come out of accepting and believing that, you know, the lifestyle that comes out of that. Mm. That relationship's got to be there for that to grow in. And it comes in community. I've heard y'all mention within the community of the family, but then also of the wider community, like what we have here at MCA. Y'all have referred often to Ephesians 6:4, to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord. And that word there is the
Paideia.
Yeah. The audience then would have known that that is implying community. And the same thing in Deuteronomy 6:4, which I know I think Amy's mentioned before, and it's kind of the charge for the grammar school that these years we need to be walking with our kids, teaching them along the way when we rise and when we go to bed. And he's not addressing that just to individuals, he's addressing it to community. Between the relationships that we develop at home during these years and that community, I think one of the biggest blessings for me in homeschooling within a community has been that I've grown to love other people's kids as much as my own, which is something, right. You know, it's one of those benefits that you don't really think about, and hopefully built a relationship that will ripen their hearts for the gospel.
And what a privilege that we have as parents.
Yeah.
To be a picture of who God is to our kids and to just enter into their world, love them, and get to know them, and then show them who God is like just on a daily basis.
Yes.
And Laura and I were talking just this past week about some struggles that were going on with homeschooling, and then Laura having some concerns about, I don't want to pass these characteristics
on
to my kids.
Yes.
And what I said, well, you're not going to be able to hide those character flaws. They're there. And the best thing to do is to acknowledge them. And when they come out in ways that you don't like, to apologize for them and acknowledge them and say, mommy doesn't want to be this way. And then for me, when I make mistakes and I'm impatient or unkind or stop, and when I recognize that, to apologize to my kids and say,
yes,
you know what? I'm not perfect. I'm sorry. I messed up. Mistakes are teachable moments, and we are quick to see those in our kids and say, oh, I need to correct this. But really the profound thing, setting the example ourselves for our kids of here's how to respond when we mess up. And we're not going to be perfect. We don't have to be.
That practice of confession and repentance is a lifelong practice when you're in Christ. I mean, it just is. And that has been one of the biggest challenges and yet one of the biggest blessings for me homeschooling, because it forces you, you can't ignore it. If I were separated from my kids all day long for 12 years, I could probably hide it.
Yep.
And I could come home, why did you do that? You know,
and do the finger wag.
That's right. And never point it back at myself. It's very humbling, and it can be very discouraging. We can sit here and talk about ideals, and that's great, but it's hard.
And how we respond to our own sin,
yes,
when it affects our kids is going to more powerfully display what it is we want to teach. That's going to teach more, have a deeper impact than what it is that we say.
Yeah. I guess the last thing that maybe that I would just say too is that you kind of hit on the point that this is such a blessing for us to get to be able to do this. We really are privileged. Not everybody gets to do this. A lot of people that wouldn't want to. I mean, a memory that stands out for me as a homeschooling mom with younger children, when I didn't know any better than to go to Target at 10 o'clock in the morning. When everybody's looking at you going, why aren't your kids in school?
Slacker.
You know, yeah, slacker. Yeah, are you unschooling? You know? How often I would be in a checkout line and it would be the cashier that would say, are you homeschooling? And yes.
No, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, and how many?
How do you know?
How do you know? That's right. What was it? The tangly hair or the dirty faces? Or no. One of the things that I remember, this happened more than once, how often it would be the cashier who's working there 12 hours a day saying, I wish I could do that with my kids.
Yeah.
And it just brings that back home for me, that take advantage of this time and this blessing, this privilege. If you have it, don't waste it.
It just hits me sitting here because Lee and I just kind of found ourselves at the grammar school.
Yeah.
Everything that I was told about MCA as a dad that didn't know anything about homeschooling or classical education or anything, I just began to look forward to those things, and grammar school was just grammar school. If you find yourself listening to this podcast, especially if you're a dad, you're still not real clear of why we're talking about this and trying to bring a greater appreciation to the moment that is grammar school, you can absolutely miss it. If you're still missing it, then hit rewind and replay this podcast and really prayerfully consider. I would challenge you, dads, if you're just looking ahead, you can't imagine what you're missing.
Mm.
Not just personally one-on-one with your kids, but in support of your wife and the day and, man, just everything that amounts to MCA, classical, homeschool, education.
We live in three different times. We live in the past because we have all these memories of how things were, and that gives us a lot of guidance. And we also live in the future of here's what's coming, and it's important. I mean, because you've right. mentioned a lot, General, look ahead to the future.
Yeah,
look ahead to
the future. Ahead.
Know it's coming around the corner. But where life is really lived is here in the moment and in the present. And there is present joy in the moment and in the mess. Really seek that, find it, and live it out.
Amen.
Well, that's our podcast for today, and we look forward to next time. Reagan, thank you so much for joining us, and
thank
we
you.
Hope to have you back real soon.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Goodnight Dad podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering greatness.